Hey, it's Drex from This Week Health Cyber and Risk Community, and I want to invite you to our next webinar. It's going to focus on what else? Defending health data. I'll be chatting with experts from Rubrik and Microsoft. Register right now at thisweekhealth.com/rubrikwebinar. That's all one string, R-U-B-R-I-K webinar, thisweekhealth.com/rubrikwebinar. See you online soon.
Welcome to This Week Health. My name is Bill Russell. I'm a former CIO for a 16 hospital system and creator of This Week Health, where we are dedicated to transforming healthcare one connection at a time. Today, we have an interview in action from the 2024 conferences, the spring conferences, Vive in LA, HIMSS in Orlando. Special thanks to our sponsors, Quantum Health, Gordian, Dr. First, CDW, Gozio Health, Artisite, and Zscaler. You can check them out on our website, thisweekhealth.com. Now, on to our interview. All right, here we are from Vive 2024 and in beautiful Los Angeles. I keep saying beautiful Los Angeles, but I was from Orange County. This isn't exactly beautiful Los Angeles. But I'm here with Mike Smith with Class Research, Vice President of Research. Mike, looking forward to the conversation.
Hey, I do too. This will be great.
So best in class means something in the industry. Talk to us a little bit about what that means in the industry.
Yeah, so class has been around for about 25 years. And what we realized is that it's really important for providers to be able to see who's performing well in the marketplace. And so several years ago, we started to measure the performance of vendors based on research that we did with providers. And so each year we publish a report that basically is a snapshot in time of all the vendors and how well they're performing in different market segments. And so it really highlights who's performing well and who isn't. And the intent for best in class is to amplify the provider's voice and hopefully help shine a light on those that are doing an exceptional job.
So this is a way for providers to hear honest feedback about how their services are performing.
Absolutely.
They may not hear it directly from the provider themselves, but they definitely will hear it from the feedback that you're gathering.
Yeah, I mean, Bill, think about it. If you, back in the day, so back 15, 20 years ago, if you wanted to know how a vendor was performing, you'd pick up the phone and call your buddies, right? And ask them about their experience with the product. Now they can pick up a report from class and they can look at it. And because many of them have already participated in the research that we do, they can actually see with confidence who's performing well, who isn't performing well, what their strengths and weaknesses are, how to differentiate themselves from one another, and actually see anonymized comments that will enable them to actually get more context around the performance of the vendor that they may be considering. And so really the hope is it can accelerate, we can cut out some of the work that they may have to do and allow them to be able to go and quickly see who's doing what and how well they're performing.
How does this differ from a Gartner, a Forrester, or consumer reports, for instance?
Yeah, it's quite a bit different. And part of that is maybe the approach that we take. We spend time in most cases on the phone. Usually it's about a 30-minute interview, and we go through and ask them a series of questions, and then we, based on what they how they respond, try to drill in and understand what they're doing. And so in many instances, Gartner is, and I'm not as familiar with Gartner, but many other organizations will do more forward-looking research, or they'll do research that's just all electronic. We like to get on the phone and actually drill into the details and understand context and understand what's happening.
So would you actually meet with the vendor partner at some point and have conversations about, not only are you collecting the information from the consumer, which is phenomenal, but meet with the partner and say, okay, you take us through. Tell us about your solution.
Yeah, we do. We do. And so we actually have a lot of meetings with vendors to really take them through and dive into the feedback that we've collected from their clients. And really the intent for those meetings is to hopefully identify what are some things that they can do better and improve, and certainly help them understand what's working and what isn't working so they can ultimately become better for their clients.
Do you ever have it? So we're walking around this and I think there's obvious categories, the EHR category and those kind of things.
Yeah.
There's some of these solutions that I'm talking to and I'm sitting there going, I'm having trouble putting into a category. Do you guys like create new categories?
The time. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So that's in process even right now. So we have different areas that we are trying to figure out how do we encapsulate this type of solution and this problem that they're solving. And in some cases, to be honest with you, it takes time. But typically the way we do it is we listen. We go into conferences like this and we talk to the vendors. We talk to the providers and their leadership to say, hey, what's important to you? And if there's an area that's of high interest to a provider, we will start to focus in on that, and if it makes sense, actually start creating new research in that area.
Because it takes some time for there to become a body of knowledge around how did the implementation go. I'm thinking specifically around computer vision.
Yeah.
So we have the Artisites of the world, and we have the Care AIs of the world,
right.
But it's kind of a new area.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a category for that?
So typically what we're doing now is we have an area we call emerging technology.
Okay.
And so that allows us to actually drill into a new technology, focus on a vendor, even if they only have 3 or 4 live sites, at least validate what they're doing, ask some performance-based questions, and then give an early view into how that vendor's performing. And then once that market becomes more mature, then we actually will start measuring that in kind of a best-in-class
fashion. What determines when it becomes more mature? Is it the number of players that
typically
have come into it?
Yeah, usually it's based on the number of live sites that they have, so number of live clients that they have, the number of vendors that may be performing in that marketplace.
Do you look at the big player? Do you look at like the Microsofts that has, Microsoft has all sorts of tentacles all over the place.
Right.
And do you like just classify them based on the category you're looking at?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I'm opening up research on public cloud. And so from a Microsoft Azure perspective, we're doing some broad research on Microsoft Azure, but then we have some very specific point solutions that we're also measuring with Microsoft. And so with AWS, Microsoft, and some of the big players, we may take a broad perspective on how well they're performing, but then also hone in on 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, in the case of Microsoft, categories that we can actually take and compare them with some of the other players in the market.
You have a booth.
We do.
What happens in a class booth at this
Oh man, it's amazing, right? So obviously this is a great place for people to come and learn about class, what they're doing, and certainly how they can get involved. It's a great place for them to see what kind of research and the breadth of research that we have, and really how they can leverage that research to help them in their organizations.
So who's your client? Is your client the health systems?
That's a good question. And it's both. So we have, obviously, our primary client is going to be the health system. We work closely with them, and our goal is to help hopefully provide them with honest, accurate, unbiased insights. But we also work with the vendors, too. And so we have a number of vendors that are class members, and they use the data to hopefully help them learn how they can become better. And we believe that if we do our mission, if we do our job right, we'll be able to help the providers make better decisions, and we'll help vendors become better.
Fantastic. Mike, thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Hey, this is Drex from This Week Health. We're here at Vibe 2024, and I am with one of the smartest people that I know. Actually, not kidding. David Ting from Talsite. Maybe not Bill Russell, who's over in the back at creating a bit of a ruckus right now, but yes, David
Drex is really talking about himself.
No, not at all. How's it going?
Drex, great to see you.
It's good to see you too.
Glad to see you in your new role.
I have made the switch from a very close company that we, amazingly enough, we were just talking about this. A year ago, we were here at this very conference, and I was with CrowdStrike, and our booth was like two booths down from this one. And there was some conversations that happened at that conference that continued after the conference and on into the last whole year. And you have an announcement to make about CrowdStrike.
Correct. So we have a great partnership with CrowdStrike. We're built, as you can see, on the CrowdStrike log scale platform.
It looks great.
It looks great. It's been a great experience. We migrated all our data directly from our cloud, where we enrich the data and then we send it directly into your log scale repo. And we generated a lot of the queries, a lot of the background queries, generating all the widgets and dashboards. The thing I tell people is log scale is built as a streaming event-driven database, as opposed to a lot of other databases that look at that look for relationship between data.
Uh-huh.
LogScale is an event-driven database, so we had to do some stuff to make stateful data
right
for inventories of PHI and inventories of devices. But in terms of picking out what happens in an event stream, this is perfect.
How hard was it to do?
Well, once we got through understanding the difference, I think it's a mental shift for people to say, gee, I'm used to a relational database, or I'm used to a NoSQL database, which is all stateful.
Right.
To a event-driven database, which if you're done digital signal processing, everything's stream-based.
Yeah.
if you're familiar with that, you go forget everything you learned
about databases
and think in terms of what happens in an event window,
right?
Then generating these dashboards incredibly easy. So I have a team of a couple of data engineers that basically once they got over the first shock of, oh, I could do this like this. One of the most powerful features we have is the nested group bys and the capability to add function, lambda function. So everything, once you master that, it's like, oh my God, I can do all this stuff.
You're off to the race.
Two lines in the insights that you can get by relating all this data is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been really happy with this to be listed on not only the log scale side, but all the other additional capabilities, our ability to generate alerts, schedule searches for remediation. So we show real-time data, real-time risk, all calibrated using real data aggregated from our sensors to the cloud into your abstract environment.
Wow.
And then we know we have additional abilities to generate orchestration, to do remediations, to do reports, to do emails, tie into Slack. And we did it all within like months.
I mean, it was really amazing.
Really amazing. I mean, you guys have been brilliant.
Not me, guys, the CrowdStrike guys.
Folks were really amazing.
We had some great folks on that team.
They did.
Anybody you want to shout out?
Well, I think Paul MacGyver. When he first saw it, he goes, oh my God, you can do all this stuff. And I said, well, just wait, next week, we'll show you what else we can do. And I think we exhausted a lot of his capabilities to go, stop, slow down.
In the ever-evolving world of health IT, staying updated isn't just an option, it's essential. Welcome to This Week Health, your daily dose of news, podcasts, and expert commentary designed specifically for healthcare professionals like yourself. Discover the future of health IT news with This Week Health. Our new news aggregation process brings you the most relevant hand-picked stories from the world of health IT, curated by experts, summarized for clarity, and delivered directly to you. No more sifting through irrelevant news, just pure focused content to keep you informed and ahead. Don't be left behind. Start your day with insight at the intersection of technology and healthcare. This Week Health, where information inspires innovation.
So before I go on, because one of the things I love about you, you have a huge amount of enthusiasm for the work that you're doing to make healthcare better and safer.
Thank you.
Let's talk more broadly about TOSSITE. What does it do? If somebody has what kind of a problem, why would they talk to you?
I tell people, TOSSITE is really about lowering the liability and the risk to an organization that has to deal with PHI.
Yes.
PHI is the most powerful commodity in healthcare today. It is about understanding how do I help you lower your liabilities and risks. And how do I streamline any kind of incident response?
Right.
So today, cybersecurity is not only about protecting your perimeters and keeping the bad guys out. It's about cyber resiliency.
Yes.
How do I get back to business? How
right.
do I file all those disclosures? How do I keep the legal requirements down so I'm not spending endless dollars and hours filling out these forms about the details of an incident?
Yeah.
The 8K.
Yes.
The SEC.
Now 8K. It's a thing.
Now it's a thing. And you're going to have to basically prove that you've done everything right.
Yeah.
Because the shareholders are going to say, hey, look, that's what they did for protecting the assets and my investment in their company. That's not good enough.
You've got to be able to describe, right?
You've got to describe. You've got to verify and prove that you've done a good job.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a huge change. So our goal is how do we help that organization not only understand the risks and what the OCR calls the potential forward risks.
Right.
Which is really, I mean, if you read the HIPAA security rule, you go, oh my God, how am I going to do this? Complete and thorough assessment of all the vulnerabilities and potential risk to CINA for all the electronic patient records.
Yeah.
That's an unsurmountable task. And you can't just do it by saying, I surveyed 20 machines, I surveyed these phones.
No, you need to actually know where
you
everything
need to
is.
Know in real time what that risk looks
it's
like.
It's kind of the next version of like, you can't protect it if you don't know where it is. That normally means the things that are on your network.
Right.
If you're the different version of that, you're like all of the PHI and where it is, and it's in a lot of strange places, right? When you do an initial POV with somebody or something, you find a lot of, they're really surprised.
So you go,
that's not supposed to be there. I thought we turned that off or deleted it.
You see these shared desktops? Look at all the files that are that have everyone access.
Yeah.
Why? It's because they put discard handoff notes in there.
Yeah.
Or look at the recycling folders that nobody purged. There's tons of data in there.
Yeah.
There are log files that applications have generated. There are files sitting on servers belonging to users that aren't even there anymore, but they're still sitting on yours. There are files that are 10 years old. There are files that are in excess of 20,000 files by a single user. Why? It's because somebody wanted to keep everything.
It's just kind of, it's sloppy work. It was the easy way to do it. People change jobs and do other things, and they put new different stuff in.
Right. Yeah. So those are the things that we go, you can reduce that either in a preventative phase, pre-breach, get to a remediated point where you say, I have a good security posture around how I'm handling PHI.
Yeah.
Then because we monitor the stuff continuously and dump the data into a CrowdStrike environment, we could generate queries and background searches to look for things that you need to worry about. Oh, why is Dr. Jones again sending PHI using her personal email?
Yeah.
Well, that never happens in Ohio, so we know that, but they do. Or why are USB drives still being used so prevalently by certain people? Well, they're taking their PHI home.
Yeah.
And then a real simple thing. The alerts that generate intervention right then and there is needed, those are the anomalies. Why is the encryption all of a sudden turned off on these machines? And that machine's going out the door. I should stop that. I should quarantine that.
You can get an alert when somebody has encryption on and then they turn it off, or it's turned off.
Right.
Very interesting.
Or they turn off certain security tools, monitoring.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all the little edge cases that you go, yeah, it might be nice
for an alert in real time. Alert for that.
Is that a repeated behavior?
Yeah.
So,
one of the other announcements you had was Office 365 integration.
The new
Tell
frontier.
Me about that.
So, Office 365, as we all know, widely used in healthcare, but the risks there are how many files are there, or how many emails and how many attachments are in those folders.
Yeah.
That should that user's account be compromised somewhere, you have a huge exposure. It's not uncommon for people to keep their entire work histories. I know I do.
Yeah.
In my email. I want to know who I talk to. I go and search for my email.
Yeah.
Doctors do the same thing. So there has to be controls, at least to say, look, these are sensitive data. You should tap it and then put the rest in a more safe,
protected archive.
Correct.
Right.
If you need to look at it, you know where to find it. This shouldn't be in an active email.
Right.
Preferably, it's governed by a separate account. So you're not logging in to us using the same login, or better, have an MFA present.
Yeah.
So all these are steps that I think will gradually help tighten down the infrastructure so that we don't leave our PHI ready to be attacked by some nation state actors or more always out to get you. So I'm sure you know the probabilities of and the success rates for phishing attacks.
Yeah.
It's high.
Yeah.
It's not impossible to get into a system. Once you get into a system, you're doomed.
Yeah.
I mean, then the only thing you can do is compartmentalization.
Right.
No, why shouldn't the admin account be open to everything? They should be compartmentalized. It should be firewalled into rings.
Yes.
And so those are the things that we start to want to promote, as these aren't costly things, they're just changes in your process.
They're best practices, and you're giving them a way to sort of find where they're not doing those best practices.
Correct.
And then building alerts building to tell them where somebody is violating that practice.
Correct.
So it's a continuous performance improvement kind
Correct.
Of loop. That you're...
It's using quantified data. It's using the quants as opposed to subjective assessments of, hey, you know, I took a sample of these 20 different machines, and they all look good.
Yeah. I know.
It's knowing what happens on all those points.
Actually knowing.
Correct.
Yeah.
In real time. I showed somebody this and I said, think of your security risk assessment that you do annually. How broad is a sample do you take? Take a look at this.
What if you had 100% sample?
This is continuous in real time across all your machines.
Yeah.
So one of the numbers I always like to talk about is, consider 12,000 endpoints, 10,000 users, you've got 120 million at that point.
Right.
Multiply that by the number of files that you're dealing with across the system. Multiply that by the number of emails. That's the space that you're trying to protect. Where's my risk?
Yeah. Oh,
it's all those endpoints.
Yeah.
And your surface area is huge.
Yeah.
You cannot do this by hand. You need technology.
You need to know it. You need to know where everything is and be able to prove it when the time comes.
And then hopefully you have all that immutable data, audit data in a place that attackers can't get to.
Right.
And so the idea, I have all the event logs. Oh, look, I can hand this off to the forensic team.
Right.
A good attacker will have wiped that out.
Yeah.
I was covering my tracks when I was a student.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, so one other kind of big, broad, general question. Besides those two, like, tiny little projects you've been working on, what else? What's next? Or what are you looking at as you look into the future?
Improving our AI so that we have our, what we call our Gen 4 AI, starts to tie all the data around PII information, different unstructured content, emails, et cetera, to say, do these things all tie to the same individual? Do they all belong to David Ting? So I can go backwards and say, hey, I'm David Ting. I'd like to know where you have all my data. And you can find all of them.
Mm.
We want to do this in a privacy-preserving manner. I don't want to have your demographic data in my database. I want to do it in a privacy-preserving manner that leverages all the PII-like terms about you, so I can correlate them. So all of a sudden, gee, those files, that email, they'll talk about the same person without actually having any of that data in our cloud.
Interesting. Is there some part of this that might also help us with patient identification? We have a lot of duplication and that kind of stuff that happens.
So today we see that already for files, attachments. I sent out an attachment that has information.
So you see lots of duplications all over this place.
Everywhere.
Right.
It just, speaking of the M365, the first thing you notice is attachments get sent to 20 different people. Surface area just increased.
Right.
It's the same freaking file. Yeah. You have that multiplied by the number of emails because attachments are sent.
And then they get forwarded.
Yeah. So it's, again, another thing that you might want to consider. Do I really need to send this attachment to all these people? Just because it's easy to have them on the to list.
Yeah.
It's just, once you understand the risks and the sensitivities to the overall equation, you can say, let's just train people to not do this as an automatic response.
Yeah, right. Hey, thank you for the time today.
No,
I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
David, you're awesome.
Great to see you.
I'm looking forward to continuing to sort of have this conversation.
Oh, absolutely.
See all the other stuff that's coming up, because I know you have a million ideas about what's
next. No.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to this Interview in Action episode. If you found value in this, share it with a peer. It's a great chance to discuss and, in some cases, start a mentoring relationship. One way you can support the show is to subscribe and leave us a rating. If you could do that, would be great. And we want to give a big thanks to our partners who make this possible: Quantum Health, Gordian, Dr. First, CDW, Gozio Health, Artisite, and Zscaler. You can learn more about them by visiting thisweekhealth.com/partners. Thanks for listening. That's all for now.